Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots, and you are listening to the web edition, and with me in the studio today is Rachel Anderson. She's the director of the E-Factory at Missouri State University. Thanks for stopping by, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rachel, tell us a little bit about the timeline of the E-Factory and your role in it.
Yeah, so we opened our doors in March of 2013, really to be a one-stop shop for entrepreneurs, people with ideas, people that already had existing businesses that were looking to grow, but to really show up at our doorstep, and then we could help with whatever they needed and put them in contact with the right people in our community. So when we opened our doors, we had 5 client companies. Today, we have over 45 companies. We also have over 140 employees that are coming to the E-Factory every day to work, which is really exciting. So you have high school students in the building, you have college students, and then you have business professionals. We also do a lot of one-on-one business consulting, training through our small business development center, and then professional development and leadership training through our management development institute, which is super exciting to be able to do all of that under one roof. I have been at the E-Factory for about 5 years now, this upcoming January. And have been in my role as the director for about the past year.
Right. Now, talk a little bit about your own background, because it's interesting to me about something like an E-Factory, an incubator or something like that, where you've got both people with ideas, but you also have people with business experience. And so discuss your own background and how it ties into helping something like an E-Factory.
Yeah, definitely. So I am one of those millennials that has tried a lot of different things to kind of see what I want to do. So have some background in working actually as a registered lobbyist. I did fundraising for a little bit. I worked in, you know, higher education previously as an admissions rep. Have traveled pretty extensively throughout the Midwest and East Coast in particular. Then decided I wanted to work in corporate America because I thought that sounded like a good idea. So moved out to Los Angeles and worked for an executive search firm, human capital consulting firm. Started my own tech startup company along the way, and really thought I was going to move from LA to New York. So I'm from Springfield originally, found myself back here for what I thought was just going to be a few months, and then fell in love with the community again. So worked remote for the first year for that, you know, firm out in Los Angeles. And then the E-Factory, Missouri State, got a grant to create my position, which was the entrepreneurial specialist at the E-Factory, and decided to try it out. So I really miss being connected to the community, making an impact, you know, in this world with startups and small businesses, ideas truly matter. And I think in Springfield is a place where you can make a difference if you have a really good idea. And of course, you know, some market research and all of that. And I just really wanted to be a part of it. So that's how I got here. And then also have some experience. I'm also a manager of a musician. So it's kind of all across the board, but really, you know, trying to be involved with things that I think can help change the world.
So let's talk about the goals then, because for me, it's fascinating. Somebody has an idea. I usually think about it from the perspective of a scientist. You're working in this field for years and years and years, and maybe some ideas percolate from the things that you're doing.
Yeah.
And then you become passionate about those, and you sort of think about maybe trying to develop one of those ideas. On the other hand, as you've mentioned, this millennial thing that's happened in the last 10 years or so, where people are much more entrepreneurial, where they're looking for opportunities. So when you see people come to the E-Factory, which part is the hardest part? Sometimes from the science point of view, it seems like the business part is the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the idea part, or is it the business part that's the hard part, or equally?
You know, I think it depends on the individual, and I would agree with you. I think a lot of the best entrepreneurs are the ones that have that domain experience. So people who, you know, really intimately know the problem, have that industry experience, and then are trying to solve it. But then a lot of times, like you said, they may be really good in one area, but just don't have the experience in another. And then that's what we're trying to help solve. And so other times people will come with just an idea, but don't have that industry or function experience. And so we just try to match people up. Whether it's mentors or through our business consultants to really help get that other side. And so really what I think it comes down to is, you know, opportunity matched with experience and market research. And then funding, of course, is really important.
Well, let's talk about funding then, because that seems like the part that's the most daunting.
Yeah.
And sometimes it seems like, from reading at least, that a lot of people think that they'll start a company that will become, how shall I put it,
A unicorn?
high enough up on the food chain to annoy some people so that they'll then get purchased and make a lot of money.
Sure.
And that seemed like a model that was happening for a while. Is that model still in force? And if it is, how do you get the initial seed capital? Is that the most difficult piece of this whole thing?
Yeah, so I have a few, you know, different thoughts on this. I personally believe money is out there, and it's not that difficult to get if you have a good idea, and you know, of course, have the right resources or connections. Connections always help with that too. But I, you know, the unicorn mentality, I think you are starting to see wane a little bit. So you know, like with WeWork or you know other large companies, you know, struggling with the different IPOs that are out there, and then. Also, it's really, really hard to start a business. So those that think that they can walk in and then, you know, sell their company within a year and make a lot of money, I think that they, you know, take their rose-colored glasses off really quickly because it really is really hard to start a business. You're better off to just go get a full-time job somewhere, save your money, and then and invest it that way. And so through our staff team, we really tried to make investment, you know, raising investment or raising capital as easy as possible. And so I know a lot of times people with ideas or entrepreneurs may not be really strong in the financial area. And so we can help help with that. So anything from QuickBooks training to helping you, you know, actually do all of your paperwork to go out and get a loan. We can help with all of that, financial projections, financial planning, and then also help you raise capital if you're looking at taking on investment. So we started an accelerator program. About 4 years ago now, we raised $750,000, a seed capital fund, where we actually invest $30,000 in exchange for 8% equity in up to 10 companies per year. And
now,
we just completed.
Now, who owns that then?
Yeah,
does MSU own that?
Who
owns the 8% of the company?
It is separate from the university. So we have a structure set up where we've been able to take on foundational money. So groups like Missouri State University Foundation actually helped us start that seed capital fund, as well as the Springfield Business Development Corporation, the economic development arm of the Springfield Area Chamber of Commerce, and then RMI. And so looking at how we can, you know, create more jobs, higher wage paying positions here in our community, help people get started here in Springfield and not go elsewhere. But the way that we actually have it set up, you know, individuals and or funds can invest in the different cohorts if they want and see a return on investment, or the way that some of that initial foundational money was set up is that it would just reinvest back into the seed capital fund.
Okay, fair enough. So it's a combined nonprofit for profit.
Correct.
That's interesting. I did not know about that.
Yes, we can thank attorneys and accountants for really helping us set up a model that would work well for us.
Right. So let me ask you about that, what you discussed about this difficulty of starting a business. People probably know that even though you can get an Uber in almost any town in America now, that on paper, Uber has not yet actually made a profit in all its years of existence.
Yeah.
So how many of your companies, what's the arc? If a company starts out small, are they going to struggle for years and years and years? What kind of advice can you give people? Does their idea have to be so amazing that it's a no-brainer, or can somebody take a marginal idea and make something out of it?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point and something that we really try to focus on. So, you know, the neat thing that I think about being a Missouri State employee and being a Missouri State University program is we also really come at this from an educational mindset. So sure, there's going to be people that still start companies that might not actually see, you know, profit until, you know, year four or later. We really think that the closer you can get to, you know, turning a profit, showing, you know, that you have customer feedback, that your idea really is one, the better. And so that's something that we really focus on through our business consulting, through our lunch and learn speaker series, through our accelerator model. We really focus on how can you get clients and then how can you become profitable? Because that's really what people are looking for, especially in our community. You know, I would say that the companies that prove that the quicker have more opportunity, whether that's, you know, investment or larger companies becoming a client of yours, you know, they really want to make sure you have a sound business model.
So In that context, how hard is it to be in a town like Springfield? How much connection do you need to get outside the area to St. Louis, Kansas City, or even the coast
Yeah.
for one of these companies to be successful?
Yeah. So I would argue that, you know, location just doesn't matter as much as it used to. And, you know, I really think companies getting started here can use it to their advantage. So when you think about how expensive just to live it is, you know, and then multiply that by what it looks like in San Francisco or New York or elsewhere is pretty crazy. But with the advances of technology, you know, you can easily have clients all over the world through things like Zoom. And honestly, I've actually seen people that think it's more interesting living in a community like a Springfield and want to know what it's like or how much your mortgage is or anything like that.
Well, that's so, a selling point.
I know,
of
right? but here in Springfield, our community truly is collaborative. You know, if you look at some of the partners that are on board with the eFactory, we have a pretty lean staff team. And so the fact that we rely on so many generous, you know, business professionals to give their time and expertise and then actually become clients of our startup companies or invest in them is really pretty huge. And you don't necessarily see that in some other communities or larger communities as well. But, you know, Kansas City's a 2-hour drive. Northwest Arkansas has a lot going on. And so I really think our location can play into what makes startups successful. And then if you look at bigger brands, so take a McDonald's, for instance. A lot of the new things that they're trying to implement really at a global level, they try it here in Springfield first. And so kind of the catchphrase that goes with it is, you know, if it's successful in Springfield, it can be successful anywhere. And so we really encourage our startup companies to take that same mentality. So if you can prove success here, it's pretty easy to scale.
So let me ask you this. So if I think about this, I think, so there's different kinds of companies. For example, a company that does web development or things like this,
yeah.
They're not producing product. They're producing intellectual product. And then there are companies that we think about in the traditional sense that make widgets of some kind or another,
sure.
A battery, a device. So it sounds like, maybe I'm wrong, that the tendency or the emphasis is on companies that develop ideas or develop services.
Sure.
Is that more likely, or are you actually seeing some of your companies that are doing building, so to speak?
Yeah, so I'd say it's really all across the board. I think, you know, the accelerator model or even the incubator model with what we offer, a lot of them aren't necessarily looking for like a storefront, which is why, you know, our kind of business model is really successful for them. So I think you do see a lot of companies that may work on, you know, just the development side, or maybe it's an e-commerce store, right?
Right.
So they don't have a storefront. But we also have other companies that have products. So one company in particular, Modbox, that just went through our accelerator program in cohort 4, is building the world's first smart drone case. So you take a company, Justin Cardoza, who is one of the founders, really has been an expert, you know, drone pilot, has been in this industry for years, and saw how hard it was, one, to travel with all of his equipment, and two, to keep it charged. And so he is really making that first smart drone case. And so you definitely see all types of companies.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So segueing into the Mind's Eye issue. Mind's Eye is a magazine produced by Missouri State University that talks about various kinds of things that are going on with the entire community. And I know that you guys are on the cover of the issue that just came out. So talk a little bit about some of the examples that are contained within the Mind's Eye issue that just came out.
Definitely. That was fun to get into my mailbox over the weekend. And so what I think is really cool are some of the companies that were targeted there in that publication. And so Charlie Rosenberry was the cover model for that one. And he started a company called Self Interactive, which really works in the virtual reality and augmented reality space. So he's a Missouri State graduate and has been a client at the eFactory for a few years now. Actually started in our co-working facility. So it was just renting, you know, a desk, and then now has moved into a private office. But is doing lots of cool stuff in AR and VR. So he recently worked with Cox Health in terms of building a training module, so helping their custodian staff really learn how to effectively clean a room. So they have lots of different locations, lots of different models, but it's really important for rooms to be cleaned a certain way to help, you know, decrease risk of infection and all kinds of other things. And they were able to do that via VR instead of having to actually do it in the space.
So that means the custodians would wear the VR headset and be in a room? Is something
exactly,
like that?
Yeah. Yeah, so you could have a room, you know, a smaller footprint, put on the virtual reality headset, and it was a customized program so that they can actually show the order things need to go in, and then also what the experience of cleaning the room's like, so that before they're really kind of sent out, they feel really comfortable with what they're doing.
Okay, very interesting. interesting. How about some other examples? I know you told me something about somebody who had something with cosmetics. What's that about?
Yeah, so Amy Blancett, who's a professor here at Missouri State University, and then also founded the Fairbanks, which is part of the Northwest Project here in our community, helping to change the face of what poverty looks like, started a startup company called Soli Jolie, which is really a makeup clearing palette that helps clean makeup brushes in between uses. And so really, you know, effective in terms of cleaning it, reducing bacteria that were to go on your face. When you think about it, your makeup brushes are also usually in your bathroom, which is a place that is kind of prime for bacteria. And so something like just cleaning your makeup brush in between use really makes a big difference.
Just out of curiosity, she would develop this idea through the eFactory, and then where would she actually manufacture said devices?
Yeah, so she had the idea before she came to the eFactory, but really needed help, getting it going, and we matched her with mentors. She actually participated in our accelerator program, so she had that $30,000 seed capital, which really helped her. And then we helped them with different types of manufacturers. I'm not sure which specific manufacturer she's using, but
it'd be off-site.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So the eFactory doesn't have manufacturer facilities tied directly to these companies. This would be where their ideas are developed.
Correct. And then through JVIC, we can do some help with prototyping and product development as well.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the future. Let's just kind of say what you think is going to happen over the next, I don't know, little while.
Let's say. It's going to be an exciting next few years. So we just announced a few weeks ago that we received a $1.25 million grant from the U.S. Economic Development Administration, and that is going to allow us to add on to our facility. So for those of you that don't know, we are located at 405 North Jefferson and the Robert W. Plaster Free Enterprise Center. And it actually just used to be a poultry processing plant. The Big Chief writing notebooks have been manufactured there, and it's been a U.S. postal sorting facility as well. So the building's seen a lot of different lives, but we have some white box space on the second floor. Since we've been fully occupied with office space for 2 years, we've been needing to expand. So we're going to add 8 additional offices, a few conference rooms, a larger event or training space so we can do things like hackathons and bigger events here in the community, and then also add on a rooftop as part of the Idea Commons expansion. And so that's going to all happen in the next year. And then in the next few years, you're going to see a Class A office building in our back parking lot, as well as a new parking deck. And then JVIC is going to have an expansion as well. So it's going to be the place to be in the next few years.
Right. Now, that's a public-private partnership on the expansions, isn't it?
Correct.
You're going to try to get a corporation to build and then lease back? Is that the idea?
So Missouri State University worked with the Springfield Area Chamber of Commerce and the Vecino Group in terms of the Idea Commons expansion, which is actually separate from the eFactory expansion.
Right. Okay. Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a lot of information, Rachel, and I really appreciate you stopping by and telling us all about it today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And anyone that's interested in learning more, we actually offer tours every Friday at 10 a.m. You can just show up to the eFactory, and we will show you around.
Well, thanks very much. And once again, this is Dave Cornelson for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.